Welcome to the Alchemy, Astrology, and Astrohealth podcast. I'm Maya Ratla, medical astrologist, astroherbalist, and green witch. I was diagnosed with endometriosis at 19, and I was told I would never have children. I healed my body through the power of herbs, alternative health practitioners, energy healing, and more. At 28, I had the baby they said I would never have, without any interventions. I refused to believe that my body was not able to heal itself. Along this journey, I stumbled across medical astrology, and it resonated with me so much. I started down the path to learning this unique system that had been used for thousands of years in the medical community. I now help other women heal their bodies using their cosmic blueprint, the unique blueprint that every person has embedded in their DNA from the stars. This system helps me see what's going on in your body on a cosmic level and exactly how to help you give your body what it needs to heal itself. We are all uniquely and amazingly designed, and when we learn to work with our design, love ourselves for how we are designed to function, and integrate the cosmos into our lives, I truly believe that we can see true and lasting health brought into our lives. If you are ready to change your life, heal your body, and learn to deeply love who you are, this podcast is for you. Come join me as I discuss medical astrology, astronutrition, astroherbalism, health, wellness, spirituality, transformation, and so much more. I'm so excited you are joining me. Hormones are the messengers of the body. They tell everything else what to do and when to do it in your body. This means when they are out of sync, they can lead to so many different health issues popping up and leaving you feeling fatigued, having pain, foggy brain, hot flashes, PMS symptoms, slow metabolism, infertility issues, thyroid issues, night sweats, heavy periods, and so much more. Hormones and how they work in the body of someone with ovaries and a uterus is not very well known by many people. How many of you actually learned how estrogen, progesterone, follicle-stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, and testosterone work in your body? What the symptoms are where they're not working as they should? I know I did it, and I had to learn all of that on my own. And I want to save you the time and the energy that it took me to learn all of that, and I want to teach you exactly how you can learn how your body is designed to work so that you have peaceful periods, a tranquil transition to menopause, a return of your fertility, and so much more. Your menstrual cycle is your fifth vital sign. Problems tend to start there first, and then these indicate that something else is going wrong in the body. And these are symptoms, though, that we are told time and time again are completely normal and not to worry about it. Maybe you even have like a birth control pill tossed at you. And unfortunately, birth control pills actually lead to worse hormonal issues, thyroid imbalances, and eventually drive the symptoms deeper into the body, which masks them and makes them harder to fix later for you. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of that shit, and I'm ready for a new way of doing things. And I know you are too. I know it. So let me show you how to take back control of your cycle, your body, your understanding of how it works, and how you can fix these problems yourself. We have been taught to give our power away to others for healing, and this is wrong. Absolutely wrong. Everything you need for healing is already inside of you. So in this live 3-hour class I will be hosting, I will cover how the hormones work, what is normal and not normal, what planets and signs govern the female reproductive hormones, how to understand your natal chart and how your body in particular is designed, how to make nutritional, lifestyle, and mindset changes to help heal those hormonal imbalances, and how to track your cycle via the moon to help restore balance in every area of your life, and probably so much more. Because I like to talk and I like to teach. This is, again, a live 3-hour training with a live Q&A session afterwards. You have handouts, a journal, and there's going to be so much value packed into this. You are going to walk away feeling empowered to return to your own knowing, your own intuition, trust your body, and heal it from hormonal issues that you are experiencing. And the best part of this whole thing, this normally $97 class is going for only $47 for this round. So come join me now. Let's return to happy, healthy hormones via the cosmos today. There is a link in the show notes to purchase your ticket or a link in the YouTube if you are watching it on there. And please come join me. There are only 100 tickets available for this. So grab yours today. A replay is sent if you have to miss the live event. Otherwise, you can purchase the replay at a later time if you did not attend initially and did not buy a ticket initially. And those will be sent out in an email. I am excited to help you learn how to heal your body. And I will see you there April 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, April 22nd for the Happy Healthy Hormones Via the Cosmos live 3-hour class with me. Grab your ticket at the link in the show notes or in the link in the description below. It's only $47 today for the live 3-hour Happy Healthy Hormones Via the Cosmos training with me, Iyer. We'll see you there. I know, I know, I know. You are sick of me telling you to drink water and take electrolytes. But let me tell you, it's totally worth it. This is why I love Element so much, though. It's because they are science-backed. They're formulated to contain just the right amount of sodium, potassium, magnesium to ensure that all of that water that I encourage you to drink on a daily basis in pretty much every episode is going to go where it needs to. It's going to stay there, right? There is no point in drinking so much water daily if you're just going to pee most of it right back out. No one wants to be living in the bathroom. I'm sure that less time in the bathroom is definitely a plus there. And if you have been wanting to check out Element, I have a good news for you. I actually have a referral link now that you can use to purchase Element through. And in doing so, you receive a free sample pack with your first order through that link. This only applies to the first order currently, but hey, free is free, am I right? So if you are ready to up your hydration game, keep that gallon of water I am making you drink daily inside your body, click that referral link in the show notes and go snatch you up some Element today. My favorite flavors are raspberry salt, citrus salt, and the chocolate salts. They have a chocolate mint that is delicious and it goes really great with a protein shake, a chocolate protein shake. After I've had a really hard workout, it helps replenish me. It gives me all the potassium, sodium, and magnesium that I just sweated out back, as well as tasting delicious. It's great in hot chocolate and coffee as well. So perfect times. They are great for cold weather mainly. I do not like them as much in the summer, the chocolate ones, but the other ones are great. You can add a dash of sweet and salty to your favorite warm beverage. So go now to the link, get your free sample pack of Element today with your first order. Enjoy it. Let me know what you think about it because it's my absolute fucking favorite electrolyte brand. And that's that. Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Alchemy, Astrology, and Astral Health. I'm Iyer, I'm your host, and today I really want to go over what an actual, like, in-depth medical astrology reading looks like. This one is going to go over what an actual, like, super in-depth one looks like. So this is going to detail exactly what I look for, what I find, all the recommendations that come along with it to help your body heal. And for this episode, I am going to be using my own chart. As well, I know it very well, and also I have permission for me to do it, so super easy. I am hoping that with this episode you will kind of just be able to see like how this reading works, exactly what happens after a reading with the health coaching sessions that follow. These help you make a plan, enact the recommendations, get you the goal setting, and help you with, you know, going along in those baby steps. You got a cheerleader and a guide in your corner, right? And then again, help heal your body at the end, which is the entire point, right? So the entire goal of me personally working one-on-one with my clients is to empower them to take control of their own health, feel confident in being able to know what their body needs and when it needs it, and then how to maintain that newfound health for the rest of their lives by understanding their body on a cosmic level, learning how their body is designed to work, right? So this will be a good foundation for pretty much everything else. Skills before pills, y'all. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to dive into my chart and see exactly what medical astrology can show you about you, your design, and where your body is struggling by demonstrating through mine, okay? So where do we usually start? First, I obviously run your natal chart with my software, get all your placements. Then I pull out my trusty notepad and I start taking notes because I'm old school in many ways, and my body and my mind remember things better when I'm like writing it on paper. It's like that mind-body connection. I don't know what it is, but it just works better. So I take all of my notes mainly. So on one side of the first page, I list all of your planetary places, right? So I put all the glyphs, I write all the glyphs out in a row, and then I write out the glyph for North Node, South Node, and Chiron as well, because I put all those in there. So it's your Sun, Moon, Rising, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, North Node, South Node, Chiron. And then on the other side of the page, I do the Mohs. So that's cardinal, fixed, immutable, and the percentages, not the percentages, the amount of planets in each one. So I put which planets are in each one and how many total, right? And then the elements, fire, earth, air, and water, and I do the percentages of those. So like how much percentage of fire your chart is total, how much percentage of water, etc. And then I put the sixth house, and I put which sign is ruling that in your chart, as well as any planets that are placed there. And then I will make a list of like the hard aspects in your chart. So these are the ones that are more likely to cause issues. I like to see what sign is governing your sixth house and any planets placed there, because this house governs like your overall health picture and how your body handles illness and recovery and all of that stuff. And it's a very important placement for many people, myself included. So we're going to see how this looks in my chart. If you head over to the blog or open the newsletter that comes with this episode, that's come out on Thursday, and the newsletter and blog come out on Friday, you will see a picture of what my notes actually look like for my own chart. And this is the same for everyone's chart. I typically have 7 to 8 pages of handwritten notes with scribbles in like all of the margins of things. It looks like chaos, and it kind of is, but it's organized chaos to me, so it works for me. I might not work for everybody else, but I'm going to take a picture and post it, because like I don't think y'all believe me sometimes when I tell you that I like to take a lot of notes and how deep that this goes, right? So now I'm just kind of, since we got the whole like basis of where we start, I'm just going to like kind of dive into it exactly like I would if I were sending this to you who's getting a reading from me, okay? So let's go. All right, Iyer, I have your chart here, and I am going to do your reading, and I am super excited. So we have your sun in Scorpio, your moon in Scorpio, your Leo, and your rising is Leo, your Mercury is Scorpio, your Venus is Virgo, your Mars is Virgo, your Jupiter is Sagittarius, your Saturn is Scorpio, your Uranus is Sagittarius, your Neptune is Sagittarius, your Pluto is Scorpio, your North Node is Gemini, South Node is Sagittarius, and your Chiron is in Gemini in the 11th house. So I'm going to go ahead and start the reading now. All I ask is that you take what resonates, listen with open heart and an open mind. Whatever doesn't, just toss that away, and we will get ready to get going then. So the modes that I found for you, the cardinal had one planet, fixed had 4 planets, and mutable had 5 planets in it. So this then shows me which cross is activated in your chart, and this helps me see more about what the root cause can be for a lot of the health issues that you're experiencing, right? In this case, sometimes the one with the most planets is not the one that is the actual activated cross. Sometimes it is, and typically that is how it goes. But in this case, your mutable cross has more planets, but if I'm going through based on the symptoms of things that you've had and the health issues that you've experienced, it's actually your fixed cross that is activated in your chart. And so in this, you have all those planets in Scorpio, you have your rising sign in Leo, and you have your MC in Taurus, but you have nothing in your house of Aquarius. So Aquarius is actually probably the sign on that fixed cross that is the most activated. So that's also causing some issues in your health, and we'll get into that. So elements then, you're actually pretty well balanced on your elements. Your fire is 27.8%, your earth is 22, your air is 22, and your water is 27.8. So that's actually really well balanced, which is rare to see. A lot of people have a major imbalance somewhere in there. Yours is good. So yay. This means we don't really have to focus on increasing or decreasing one of those elements in your chart, which is a good thing, because sometimes that can be causing it. If you have like a super excessive amount of fire in your chart, then a lot of the things that I'm seeing are probably caused by some sort of like inflammation or heat trapped somewhere in the body. And then that also gives me a clue as what we can do to help. But with yours being so well balanced, we're going to focus more on the actual mode and the cross that's activated, as well as the hard aspects in your chart. Your sixth house is ruled by Capricorn. You have no planets in that placement. So this just means that overall Capricorn ruled ailments are probably going to be more prevalent there. You do have good, probably bone structure, thankfully. And skin typically can either have a lot of rashes or can be fine. It just depends on what else is going on. But you will have some of that Saturn influence in that sixth house just because Capricorn is ruling it. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. So those are things that can come up later in life with issues. Typically, Capricorn issues tend to be chronic and deep-seated, and they don't show up until later in life. The best way to work on those is through ensuring that you're getting a very mineral-rich diet. You can do this through cell salts. You can do it through diet, making sure you get lots of root veggies and mineral-rich other types of foods. Root veggies tend to have the most, but there's other foods that are, rich in those minerals as well. As far as the hard aspects go, because you have all those planets in one sign, you have a lot of hard aspects. So you have the sun in hard aspect to your Saturn, Mercury, and Moon, and then the Moon is in hard aspect to Saturn and Sun and Mercury. Mercury is in hard aspect to Saturn, Sun, and the Moon. You get it. Mars and Venus are in hard aspect to each other because they are conjunct each other. They're like literally like 2 degrees, 3 degrees apart. I'd have to look again. I don't remember. And then you have Uranus, Neptune, and Jupiter, and your fixed cross is the one that is activated from what I am seeing based on the health history that you have provided for me. And so that is going to point more at like the root cause being like colon issues of some sort, which makes sense because you do have five planets in Scorpio, which rules the colon. And so colon issues being a problem are, kind of common there. This means that you need to increase like high fiber diet and roughage in your diet. Otherwise, it can lead to like a clogged colon or a stagnant colon, a toxic colon, like it's sometimes called, where things just don't move through as well as they should. They get a little stuck in there. Buildup happens on the walls of the colon, and then you start reabsorbing things that are supposed to be expelled from the body, which puts a higher load on your liver, which then in turn makes your liver not function optimally. And then this can lead to all kinds of things, including heart issues, ironically, because the stuff that gets reabsorbed will go back into the bloodstream. And if it doesn't get back out soon enough, it can create issues in like causing clogs and things like that in your arteries, which can then lead to a heart attack. So with that, Leo rising, anyways, you already have a higher propensity for heart issues just because Leo rules the heart and is ruled by the sun, and your sun is in a hard aspect to Saturn, so it struggles a little bit. So just all of this information to tell you to pay attention to your heart and take very good care of it. And we will go over ways that you can do that. The secondary root cause here tends to be thyroid issues, but they tend to come because of the colon issues triggering the thyroid issues and triggering either hypoactive or hyperactive. And so this can be, a potential issue as well that's happening in your body. Based on the symptoms that you've told me, I'd see that it could potentially be a problem. So we can work on ways to fix that as well. Just another point, I didn't see you mention this, but birth control actually alters the thyroid as well and how it functions. So if you are on birth control currently or have been in the past, that can also be a play a big factor in thyroid issues. So we would potentially really need to look at that as well. Aquarius is, like I said, the only one that doesn't have any planets or midpoint, midheaven point, anything in there. So it can be like kind of the main issue in the more active area here and can lead to eye trouble, which, in case anybody has been listening to this podcast, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I had completely lost my vision in one eye in November of 2022. So that was fun. so that was kind of like, oh, great. When I saw that, I was like, oh, perfect. So that can definitely, be part of the reason that that happened in that time, in November of 2022. And so, also it can lead to heart problems here, thyroid problems. It can lead to these being things that run in the family. So eye problems, heart problems, thyroid problems running in the family here, with this area activated. You didn't mention anything in yours, so I don't know if that's true. Side note, because I'm doing my own chart, it is true. But I might not know this about a client when I do these, so I would just mention it like that. But in my family, it is true. All of those things run in my family. So it's really kind of cool how we can see that in my chart, that that's a problem that my mom, my dad, my grandparents all have. And colon cancer runs in my family starting at 30. So you see how, even though it's my chart, it's even showing some other stuff. So because of this stuff, right, that is seen here in your chart, you can require more amounts of like vitamins and minerals than normal and already have an issue with absorbing all those vitamins and minerals because of the Saturn placement being so close to all those other planets and influencing things that we would like it to not be influencing sometimes. So going and looking real quick in my notes for what was going on in the sky in November of 2022 that might have also activated that with my eyes like suddenly having an issue is a ton of Sagittarius was happening in the sky at that point. And Sagittarius is a very inflaming sign and doesn't do well with lack of hydration and too much caffeine. And it happened actually while I was at work as a nurse currently. I picked up a shift to bring in some extra money right around Thanksgiving. And so in case anybody's wondering, when you're working as a nurse, you don't have time to drink, to pee, to eat, and you live on caffeine. And so that combination with what was going on in the sky currently with all that Sagittarius, and I have a lot of Sagittarius in my chart, probably was just kind of a precipitating like factor that kind of pushed me over the edge and caused that vision to be lost, because they said it was an ocular migraine, which actually happens from the blood vessels in the back of your eye becoming like suddenly having a spasm and becoming too narrow. Spasms are super common in Sagittarius placements. So just an FYI, that's potentially what was also not helping at the time that I had that issue, though it was really the beginning of the end of me leaving nursing because I did not want to continue to lose my vision, because who knows if it might become permanent, right? So moving on to your placements then. Your sun is in Scorpio. Your sun is, like we've talked about before, your vital force, your life battery, if you will, and it governs like how your overall health kind of is, right? And Scorpio rules the nose, the colon, the uterus, the female reproductive and male reproductive systems in general. It rules the prostate. It co-rules the uterus with Cancer, just an FYI, because it also has that. And so with this placement, the qi is strong here, which is good. Qi is, again, the traditional Chinese medicine, life force, like word, right? The qi is really strong here with these placements. Scorpio suns are like the cats of the zodiac. They don't tend to die from things that you think they would die from. And they bounce back from things that everybody else says that they shouldn't bounce back from. So basically, you know, like they say, cats have 9 lives. That's basically a Scorpio sun. So this is a good placement to have as far as like the vital force goes in many cases. The vital force does tend to concentrate itself here. It tends to concentrate itself more like in the pelvis region of like the sexual centers of the body, into like the spiritual centers of the body. A lot of Scorpios tend to be very spiritual and tend toward having a really good connection with like the other realms. Sometimes they're very intuitive, one of the more intuitive signs. Tendencies here for health issues, acne, typically from that toxic colon issue, it's showing up on your skin then as a problem. So if you tend to the colon, the acne will go away. Poisoned blood is common here, like sepsis, diarrhea, menagerie, which is the really fancy term for really painful periods, which you mentioned that you had. So again, makes sense. Hemorrhoids are common here. Bladder infections are common here. Crohn's and colitis, which again are both issues with the colon specifically. They do sometimes move up and affect the small intestine as well, but they tend to be colon-focused issues for the most part. Internally, is one of the strongest signs. Things will heal so much better than other people's, which is good, but you tend toward a lot of internal issues sometimes. Uterine issues of all kinds, infertility, struggles, heavy, painful periods are common here. Uterine fibroids are common here. So some good things that I see here, alterative herbs are really good to use here. So that's like Oregon graperoot, dandelion root, burdock root. These are all good to add, as well as things that help move toxins out of your body. So like dry saunas, that kind of like heat that gets in there and pushes it out. Scorpio is said to be a very cold sign, so lots of heat in the body really helps. The saunas help. Making sure you're getting plenty of daily movement really helps here because of that colon tending to toward like the stagnancy. Walking daily, movement of some kind daily gets the peristalsis going so that that doesn't happen on top of eating high fiber and a high roughage diet. So make sure you're getting lots of green leafy vegetables. Scorpio tends toward a more acidic environment in the colon, which can lead to diarrhea and other issues. So you want to tend toward more alkaline foods in your diet. So again, green leafy vegetables are very alkaline based. So it's really good to have lots of those in your diet. Fermented foods and drinks are more alkaline in some instances and work well for Scorpio. So lots of fermented foods and drinks in your diet as well could be good here. Your moon is also in Scorpio, and it is in its fall in Scorpio, which can be not a great thing sometimes because it can really change the influence of the moon and cause it to have issues that it might not normally have. The moon is our emotional center. It governs our emotions, how we receive emotions, how we express our emotions. And it also is the like distributor of the life force, right? So the vital force from the sun is like stored in your heart, which is like your battery. And then your moon is like the wiring that goes from the battery to the other parts. In this case, the arteries and veins that go to your major organs and help bring that vital force to those parts. So it really distributes that. The moon itself governs the female reproductive system. It governs the breast. It governs the stomach. It governs digestion. It governs the uterus with Venus in Cancer and Scorpio. And we already know what Scorpio covers because I just told you. So in here, the vital force is distributed in a highly intense manner. It likes to go quick and fast to one area and kind of concentrate itself there, which again, is the sexual centers, the spiritual centers, like the third eye sometimes area. Common occurrences here with this placement can be uterine fibroids, leaky gut syndrome, which leads to like that toxic gut thing again, right? Where things are getting reabsorbed that shouldn't be. Bladder issues, a reactive colon, which can lead to diarrhea, runny noses, excessive sweating, hemorrhoids are common here. Good herbs to use here are yarrow and wild yam. Both of those are specifics for endometriosis, PCOS, heavy bleeding, painful periods, which is what we see very commonly in this placement with Scorpio. Potassium-rich foods are going to be good here, as well as cell salts to help build up those stores, because Saturn is like directly next to your sun, your moon, and like Mercury, and they're all kind of right on top of each other. Saturn's influence, that being really constructive, is restricting the vitamins ruled by the sun, the moon, Mercury, and even Pluto, which doesn't really rule anything, or rhotic acid. So they're being suppressed and not really absorbed properly. So you're going to want to include lots of foods that are high in these in your diet, as well as possibly supplementing if necessary. We prefer to get everything from our food if possible, but sometimes we do need to, you know, add some supplements in there, and we can discuss that when we meet. Cell salts are really good for this though, and I found they're super helpful for painful, heavy periods, which you said you were having. And again, balancing the acid-alkaline balance of the body here is very important. Your Saturn is also in Scorpio. It's below the horizon, so it's already a cold planet. It's a very cold planet. It's below the horizon, which cools it down even more in your chart. And then it's in a female sign, which also cools it down. And then it's in a water female sign, which cools it down even more. So basically, your Saturn is extremely cold and extremely sluggish, and it causes an extreme, like, constricting force, more so than it would otherwise. So it is really constricting that energy flow to the Scorpio ruled areas, in this case, the uterus and the colon specifically, because you've mentioned you have a lot of those issues. Common health concerns here are sterility or infertility, so issues with getting pregnant or never being able to, Crohn's disease, hemorrhoids, hernias, plugged sweat glands, toxic and sluggish colon, amenorrhea, which is the absence of a period, and then endometriosis, which I know you mentioned that you had. So again, we can see that that's kind of part of the cause of that. And part of that reason is because it's so constrictive in your chart. It's really restricting the blood flow and the nutrients and the vital force from getting to that area in an appropriate manner and in a way that's enough for your body to process, right? Also, Saturn is just so powerful that it likes to reflex other places in your chart. So it's also reflexing to Taurus in your chart, which can lead to constant sore throats, throat issues, toxic tonsils, hypothyroid, dental issues. You had said you had a history of strep throat, where you had strep throat like constantly as a kid and once for even up to 3 months at a time. This is why. And a lot of that is coming from that toxic colon that's happening. So if you fix the colon issues, you fix those issues as well. Reflexes to Leo, which can lead to blood pressure extremes. You said that you have super low blood pressure. That can be why. Also struggle with sodium balance here, especially with your Aquarius being probably the more activated, and it rules the sodium balance as well with, and it's also a Saturn ruled sign. So that can lead to a lot of issues with not having enough sodium in your body, right? In Leo, when it reflexes to Leo, if Leo is in the first, second, or third house, it actually gives really good strength to your overall like vitality and whatever, which is good because Taurus is in the first house. So it's helping. Saturn is helping in some ways that Leo, but it's also not helping in some cases as well. So it's kind of a bittersweet thing. Reflexes to Aquarius as well, which can lead to low blood pressure, which you said you have, obstructed circulation, cold extremities, which yours are always frozen. I just live in the hot weather because, one, I'm very cold-blooded and a full sun plant, but also because I'm always cold. So it's, and this explains why right there. Good herbs here to try: yarrow, wild yam, red raspberry leaf, agnus castus, dandelion root, burdock root. Again, the cell salts. Saturn is really restricting in like mineral intake. So the cell salts are going to be super important here, as well as iodine, because it's so close to your sun. It's really that too. And if your iodine is too low and your body's not uptaking it properly, you're going to tend toward thyroid issues. Mars in Virgo. Next, your Mars is the seat of inflammation. It governs like your, it's the seat of action too, right? Like how you do action. So it's how you like to perform things, how you like to move, how you like to get things done. It also governs your adrenal glands. It governs your overall metabolism. It rules Aries and it rules Scorpio. So it's in Virgo in your chart. Virgo governs the upper part of the intestine, so mainly the first part of the small intestine, the duodenum. It governs the pancreas. It has some rulership over the liver and gallbladder, but those are mainly Capricorn ruled things and Jupiter ruled things. And it also has a little bit to do with the digestion of the body as well, because the pancreas does emit digestive enzymes to help break things down. It also co-rules the immune system with Pisces. Virgo is the side of the immune system that's overactive usually, so it tends toward autoimmune issues, which is why type 1 diabetes is so common with Virgo placements, because that overactive immune system kills off your body's ability to make insulin, and then you require insulin to live from an outside source. So you do have a propensity toward diabetes sometimes. Obviously, you've made it into adulthood, so you don't have type 1 diabetes. That's typically a juvenile illness. It starts typically before 20. So type 2 diabetes is on the list next. So just make sure that you keep a nice nutrient-dense diet that's high in protein. Make sure you're doing those herbs that we've mentioned, probiotics, keeping that gut health up, and tendency toward type 1 diabetes would diminish, as well as making sure you're keeping up your activity. Mars in Virgo is an earth sign. Mars doesn't like being an earth sign. It's a fire and water, you know, ruler. So it likes those two signs the best. And so in an earth sign, it tends to be more stagnant. So you have to force yourself to go be active. So be more active for sure. That really helps. You can have a tendency here to hold on to weight, especially if you're not eating a high enough protein diet. And that can, tend toward leading to type 2 diabetes as well. So your body just has trouble burning calories and ridding its body of waste products here. So again, keeping up on all the other stuff we mentioned will really help in this placement as well. Common issues here are diverticulitis, which are little pockets that form in the colon, sometimes the small intestine, where food and stool gets stuck in there, and then they tend toward toxic issues because it's just sitting there and it's building up. It can also cause intense pain, and it can even perforate your bowel if it gets too full and doesn't get cleared out. So again, a high fiber diet is going to be super imperative here. Pancreatitis is common here. Diabetes, like I already mentioned, type 1 and type 2. Colitis, dry bowel, really dry bowel. So you need to make sure you're constantly drinking water, keeping that electrolyte balance up, as well as your hydration. Oil hydration is important here as well. So make sure you're getting some good healthy fats in your diet too. Allergies are common here due to overactive immune response, especially weird allergies, which, side note, going into my own chart as Ayer again, instead of pretending like this is a client, I have a lot of weird allergies, y'all. Like a lot of weird allergies. Like I am like super allergic to nylon. Had like an allergic reaction that almost killed me from nylon, which nobody saw coming because it's not really a common thing to be allergic to, apparently. I'm super allergic to nickel, which is compound in many metals. So I can't wear any kind of metal that has nickel in it because my throat starts swelling shut. Really weird things like that. It's been really strange my entire life. And none of this started until I turned like 13. I hit puberty and then like everything went haywire in my body, which makes sense because it tends to be an issue that's building up over time and not showing up until later. So this is probably something that started from some sort of nutritional deficit in my childhood, which makes sense. We were very poor, didn't have access to a lot of good foods and nutrient-dense foods. So I'm pretty sure I had a nutrient deficiency in my body. I also had really terrible bowels as a kid that were not well taken care of, because back in the 80s, like, we didn't have as much research on probiotics and having a high-fiber diet. And, you know, sometimes when you're money is not as good as it should be, your diet is whatever you can afford, and a lot of those foods that you can afford, especially in America, don't lend toward having high fiber in them or a lot of roughage. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Now that I know this about my body and I've been working on it, my allergies are a lot less. I still don't push it with the nylon or the nickel because I'm really not trying to like die, but it's definitely the other allergies that have like used to be a big issue are not as much anymore. The good news here is that Mars is typically very inflaming, but because yours is below the horizon, it cools it down significantly. And it's in an Earth sign, which also cools it down almost to the point of it being too cold. So again, your body needs lots of heat in it. So you do much better with like sauna treatments and things that bring heat to areas, especially the Scorpio ruled area. So castor oil packs to your abdomen are going to be super good here. Sauna treatments, super good here. Hot tubs actually will be pretty good here too. Anything that brings heat to that area. Mars is also really powerful and likes to reflex other places as well. So this reflexes to Pisces, which is the opposite of Virgo, which can lead to like restless foot syndrome, lymphatic infections, duodenal ulcers, weak lungs, and bleeding difficulties because of difficulty clotting. I don't know if you've noticed any of these or not, but if you have, the best thing to do is to get the Cell Salt Ferrum Foss or get the 12-in-1 where you get all of them and take that 2 tabs twice a day, help increase that iron for the bleeding, as well as making sure you're getting plenty of vitamin K in your diet, which mainly comes from green leafy vegetables, especially spinach. So make sure you're getting those in your diet to help with that if you've noticed that's an issue. It reflexes to Sagittarius, which in your case is not necessarily a good thing because you already have a stellium in Sagittarius, which can lead to a lot of these issues. So when Mars moves into Sagittarius, you might notice some of these issues popping up. So that's like sciatica, nervous system issues, hip pain, gluteal pain, thigh muscle pain, all of that stuff, right? Thigh muscles of quads and hamstrings. Hip issues of any kind, hyperactivity coming, you have tons of energy all of a sudden, insomnia, not being able to sleep well, agitated motor nerves, inflammation in the body in general. It also can reflect to Gemini, which can lead to asthma issues, especially ones that are caused by like hot causes. So like you get too hot, you're outside in the heat, things like that. With yours being below the horizon and in Virgo, it might actually be the opposite. You might find that cold weather activates that. Back to being me real quick, I had asthma as a child that would definitely pick up during like winter season or even really hot seasons. It was really strange. It had both. But now that I've gotten older, it seems to have petered out and I don't have any issues anymore. Also, asthma can be caused by a pretty good deficiency in vitamin A. And so when you start supplementing vitamin A or making sure you're getting it through your diet, then your asthma can disappear. And since knowing that my son is afflicted by my Saturn and is decreasing my vitamin A, I make sure I get plenty of vitamin A in my diet, and my breathing issues have disappeared. Just a side note. All right, back to your regular scheduled program. It can also lead to bronchitis, pain in the nerves of the arms, hands, and shoulders, especially insomnia, and again, overactive nerves. It also does, Mars is sometimes worse than Saturn and where it likes to send its influences. Also quincuxes, which is just a fancy term to say that it goes a little further in its influence. It quincuxes to Aries, which can lead to nosebleeds, which you mentioned you had a lot of as a child and still do as an adult. So that can be why, especially if Mars is in Aries or the sun moves into Aries, sometimes that can activate it as well. And it also quincuxes to Aquarius, which can lead to a lot of sprained ankles, which side note, I had a ton of as a kid. I literally sprained my ankles like 4 or 5 times in like 1 year. Like, what are the odds? And it can also affect the heart too, because Aquarius then reflexes to Leo, which is its opposite side. All right, so moving into Venus, your Venus is in Virgo. Venus rules, again, the female reproductive system, the uterus. It rules the ovaries. It rules the balances of the body. It rules Taurus, so it has some correspondence to the thyroid as well, in the ear, nose, and throat area of the body. Virgo rules all those things we mentioned in Mars. This is usually a good thing. Venus is one of the benefics, so it typically doesn't cause health problems, but yours is conjunct Mars, so it is afflicted, which can mean then a tendency toward a sluggish liver and a lazy bowel. If you notice that, vitamin E is good here to increase, as well as making sure you're getting like dandelion root or burdock root prior to meals to help get that stuff moving, right? Help support that liver in doing its job. On to Mercury. It's in Scorpio. Mercury is a very neutral influence. It doesn't really provide any influence of its own. It's just more of a balancing influence. Scorpio still rules all those things we talked about. Due to its close placement to Saturn, though, it can have some affliction here, which can lead to bladder irritation, painful urination, spastic colon, menstrual issues and troubles, especially pain because of the spasms. This can be caused by a deficiency of thiamine. Thiamine is needed for good nervous system health as well as good digestive system health. And if you don't have enough thiamine, you won't have enough hydrochloric acid, and then you won't digest your food well, and then you'll just perpetuate the nutrition deficits that your body is experiencing. So make sure you're getting plenty of thiamine in your diet. You can get this through eggs. And I do recommend sometimes in this case, because of how afflicted it is, doing an actual supplement as well of thiamine. Liquid is best. Put it under your tongue every morning for about 30 seconds and then you can swallow. That helps make sure it gets absorbed. And since we're bypassing the digestion system, it will really get absorbed because it goes straight to the bloodstream. You do have that stellium in Sagittarius. So you have Neptune there and Uranus and Jupiter. And so basically this can lead to a lot of issues in that hip area, which I know you mentioned you have a lot of hip issues, which again, side note, y'all, I fixed recently because I figured out what the actual root cause of it was and strengthened that area that was weak. And now my hip doesn't hurt anymore. So see, figuring out the root cause is best, because now that I knew what it was, I could fix it and I fixed my hip. Neptune is the great dissolver. When it's in Sagittarius, this can lead to a lot of issues with like the nerves, especially being overactive and not doing well and needing a lot of healthy fats in the diet to keep them up where they should be. So a higher fat diet here would be a good idea to pursue. Also in Sagittarius, it leads to wanderlust, which is really shows up in your life since you are a nomad. That desire to always be somewhere different is caused by that placement. In here, it reflexes to Virgo as well, which can lead to leaky gut syndrome, lazy colon, and strange allergies, which we already mentioned. I have a lot of. I didn't really see any issues that your Uranus or Jupiter are causing in Sagittarius, but just be aware that like weird nerve spasms or like zaps can occur from Uranus and Sagittarius, especially in the hip area, thigh area, the rule areas ruled by Sagittarius. And in Jupiter, it can reflex to like Gemini and again cause some issues there with being like too much energy sometimes, which can lead to, again, nervous system issues because now you have too much energy going to it. So good herbs here. You can use lemon balm, skullcap, wild oats. These are all really good at helping calm that nervous system back down. We have the south node in Sagittarius. Your south node is basically like Saturn on steroids with its influence. So it's very constricting, very restricting in how it is. It's also the site of like our past karma that we have to fulfill. Yours is in Sagittarius. We all know what Sagittarius rules because I just said it. This can lead to like weakness in your hips and legs, arterial insufficiency throughout the body, but especially through that area, which again could lead to some of the endometriosis and infertility problems you were having due to, again, that inflammation and blood flow and all that stuff going on down there, right? And because it's in Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is like the wanderer of the zodiac, it's possible that you were wandering a lot in a past life, and maybe this time around you're not supposed to wander as much, or maybe you still are, but it is your past karma to fulfill as well in there. It's also conjunct Uranus, Neptune, and Jupiter, because it's directly between all of those in your chart. So that can also lead to some issues because it's kind of like Saturn, the fact that it likes to influence things around it. So in Uranus, it can lead to spasms and cramps, especially in the hips and thighs, which I get a lot. South node conjunct Neptune can lead to like pranic leaks, which is like energy or chi leaks in the body. Again, right in that pelvic area. So any energy that you are getting in there, any influence that you need, any whatever, can just be leaking right back out. So really opening those hips up, making sure that chi is flowing. So Reiki is good here. Acupuncture is good here. Yoga poses that open up that pelvic area are good here as well. And practices that help bring your chi and your life force back into yourself. So meditation is going to be really good here as well for you. South node conjunct Jupiter can lead to poor liver function, which can be common here. So again, that dandelion root or burdock root in your tea that you're drinking throughout the day can be really good as well, because that helps support the liver in doing its job and maintain its health. You have your north node in Gemini, because north node and south node are always opposite of each other. So if your south node's in Sagittarius, that means your north node is in Gemini. Your north node is in the 11th house in Gemini, and it's not super close, but it's next to your Chiron as well. North node is the opposite of the south node. So it's very expansive, excessive energy, more like Jupiter in that way, right? So it can actually increase the energy in an area, which can be good in some cases and not so good in others, because Neptune doesn't believe that too much of a good thing is too much. So sometimes it can, the north node, I mean, is kind of very similar to Jupiter, right? Where too much of a good thing is never enough. And so it can do that. So it can add too much energy. And in this case, common things here are lung issues, because you have like too much energy, or too much energy leaving sometimes even, which can lead to like asthma, right? Because you don't have enough energy flow going to the lungs to make them work properly. And it can also lend to some arm and hand issues, because Gemini rules those as well. Mine is conjunct my Chiron, y'all. So that can actually expand that energy and will create excessive talking and movement of the hands when you're talking, which explains a lot, which is why I have a podcast and I like to talk a lot and I teach a lot and I love doing classes where I teach. And if you've ever seen me like live in a class, like on video, or you've joined my Astroaligned Kitchen where you can see me, I literally talk with my hands like all the time. And if you listen to the episode on Chiron, you will know that I used to also be an American Sign Language interpreter, because that's literally just talking with your hands. So that explains a lot right there. As far as the hard aspects, let's get into those now. Sun and moon are right next to each other in your chart, which can lead to poor health and vitality overall. Sometimes, not for everybody. So if this is an issue with you, then, you know, we can discuss that when we get to your coaching sessions about how to take care of that. Moon is blocking the sun technically in this placement, right? So it can lead to fluid issues and health concerns, especially if eating habits become poor and your emotions are negative. So you need to really focus on having a diet full of nutrient dense foods, because if you have a diet full of nutrient lacking foods, your body will retaliate like quickly. And let me tell y'all, mine does. It does not do well if I veer from a nice nutrient dense diet like at all. So I have to be very mindful of what foods I am putting in my body, which is not necessarily a bad thing, But it does take some of the fun out of going places, because even if we go out somewhere, I'm still the one who has to get like a salad over a burger sometimes, right? Which is fine. I don't mind that because it's my choice. It's not some diet that I'm on that's telling me I have to. And it's my body, and so I know what I need to do for it, so I am fine with that. And actually, you learn a lot about this in the Astro-Aligned Kitchen. But that's just how my body is designed. But now that I know that, instead of giving myself grief for going somewhere and getting the salad over like a burger or something, has actually helped my relationship with food and diet culture in general, because I'm just doing what I know is best for my body, and I really don't care if anybody else thinks that I'm being like, you know, oh my God, you're eating a salad at a pizza place. You know what I mean? So it's helped to know that. And if you find that out about your body too, it'll help you, I'm sure, as well. Deficiency in vitamin A is common here, which is definitely necessary for a healthy female reproductive system. A male reproductive system too, in general, but really for female reproductive system, it can lead to a lot of issues such as infertility, uterine infections, digestive upsets, if you don't have enough of it. It could also lead to softening of bones. So bone breaks can be common here. And problems getting pregnant can be common here as well. Or having a difficult pregnancy. So even if you do manage to get pregnant, like your pregnancy sucks. Now let me tell y'all, my pregnancy sucked. And I knew enough back then to do what I needed to do to get myself pregnant, which I did. And, you know, but I'm so sick so quickly into the pregnancy that maintaining that, what I knew I needed to do, just didn't happen, because I was just, I was on bed rest most of the time. I couldn't even get out of bed hardly. And when I did get out of bed, I was very miserable. So I didn't maintain that through the pregnancy. If I could go back in the past, I would totally like force myself to do this anyway. But since I didn't, and I had no support during my pregnancy, so that also didn't help, my pregnancy kind of sucked ass. But it's good to know that that was predicted, and I could have prevented that if I had continued down the path that I knew I should be doing. So just an, you know, kind of information there to know that once you know what to do, when you stop doing it, sometimes you're going to wind up having a more difficult time. And I knew that, right? Like I knew it, but I made the choice not to, and I accept responsibility for what happened, which was a miserable pregnancy. If these placements in the sun and moon, these hard aspects are in Scorpio, which yours are, it can also lead to thyroid disease during or after pregnancy due to iodine being oppressed here. And then it can lead to difficulty losing weight after pregnancy. So y'all, that was me. They never tested my thyroid. They told me it was fine, but they also told me that I wasn't really as sick as I was. And so when I gave birth and I like actually died and, you know, they had to bring me back, and they were like, oh, maybe you weren't lying about, you know, feeling like shit. So again, if I had to go back in time, I would definitely keep up on taking my supplements and eating a better diet, and not just, you know, and I would take iodine during my pregnancy. It can also lead to long labors here due to like low magnesium from the sun ruling magnesium and it being blocked. And especially that can happen if it's also in hard aspect to Saturn, which mine is, because mine is, my Saturn is directly next to my sun. They're like, I think like 1 to 2 degrees apart. I had a 36-hour long labor before it ended in an emergency C-section. And if it hadn't ended in a C-section, I'm pretty sure it would have gone even longer. Not enough magnesium leads to that. Not enough magnesium also leads to that because the pituitary gland, if not, doesn't have enough magnesium, is unable to release the proper uterine hormones to stimulate contractions. I actually never had any contractions on my own. So I'm thinking my magnesium levels were probably in the toilet, which makes sense. I was super nauseated on and off during my pregnancy, and I would throw up at like the most random smells. And so my magnesium levels were probably low, because throwing up will drop most of your electrolyte levels. Potassium and sodium go first, but eventually magnesium and calcium will follow, right? And so that also probably didn't help. It can also lead, when the low magnesium here, to low potassium, which is ruled by the moon, which can then lead to edema or swelling. And I had so much swelling during my pregnancy, let me tell you. And it's typically, edema is typically caused by not enough potassium. And so you need to add some potassium in. So potassium your body struggles with as well. So make sure you're getting plenty of that. You can get that through eating a banana a day and then taking your electrolytes through Element. Sun and Mercury are in hard aspect. This can lead to issues with the tubes of your body here. And since Mercury rules Gemini, which rules the tubes of the body, that is why. And this can lead to fallopian tube issues, because it is one of the tubes, right? Which I had, which is part of the reason why they said I would never get pregnant. Fooled them, though. I did. So, with the hard aspect to Saturn here as well, this could also really decrease vitamin A, which can lead to asthma. And if it's in Scorpio, which mine is, menstrual problems as well. Mercury also rules Virgo, so that can also lead to decreased vitamin A, which then can lead to colitis or diverticulitis. It can lead to a slow liver, pancreatic issues, rashing, itching, flaking, psoriasis, liver spots, dryness and tightness of the skin and other parts of the body may occur as well. So vitamin A is very, very necessary, y'all. It can also lead to low thiamine, which can lead to heartburn, irritability, and heart issues, since it's sun rules the heart, and they're right next to each other. So again, that can also lead to myelin sheath issues. So again, vitamin A and thiamine are super important here to prevent any of that from happening. Mercury co-rules the thyroid with Taurus, so thyroid issues are possible here as well, especially with that hard aspect to Saturn, and may cause hypofunction in that point. And that can be secondary to a lack of vitamin D, which tends to a lack of calcium then in the blood. These are both Sun and Saturn ruled things, which then leads to low iodine in the body, because if you don't have enough calcium, you can't uptake enough iodine. And this can lead to all those issues, especially if the Sun, Mercury, or Taurus is in, or Saturn is in Scorpio or Taurus. Mine are in Scorpio. And a low deficiency in magnesium can also lead to diarrhea and pancreatitis and issues as well. Sun and Saturn are directly next to each other as well. This can lead to a lot of issues uptaking, like calcium. And again, not enough calcium equals you're not uptaking enough iodine, which can lead to thyroid issues and other fertility issues sometimes as well here. It can also decrease the vitamin C uptake in your body, which can eventually lead to like health issues, right? Because you need vitamin C for a healthy immune system. And so it can lead to immune system issues, constantly getting sick. Not enough calcium can lead to like dental issues. It can lead to skeletal issues where you're easily breaking bones because you need calcium and vitamin D together to create happy, healthy bones. Vitamin C you need for happy, healthy arteries and flexibility of arteries and veins. So you can get hardening of the arteries here if you don't get enough of that. You can get bleeding of the gums if you don't get enough of that. You can start getting like varicose veins and things like that. So again, very important here with those Sun-Saturn placements to make sure that those are increased in your diet as well. Moon is next to Mercury as well. This can also lead to a decrease in thiamine, which can lead to low hydrochloric acid in the stomach, which can lead to poor digestion. And again, then gastric atony, which is where like the muscles kind of fatigue and sometimes even wither. And then it can lead to weakening, right? Which means they're not moving like they should with the peristalsis and the scrunching of the food that they have to do. And that can lead to poor digestion overall because it's not breaking foods down as it should. Liver can also suffer here from low thiamine, so it maybe can't produce the coenzymes that are necessary for carbohydrate metabolism, which then leads to hypoglycemia, especially if Saturn is there too. I had a lot of hypoglycemia issues as a child growing up into adulthood, and especially when I was pregnant. I kept passing out when I was pregnant, and come to find out it's because I had super low blood pressure. Even when pregnant, my blood pressure never went up. It was still the same as it had been prior to getting pregnant. Typically, your blood pressure will rise a little bit. We obviously don't want it to rise too high, but you do want it to come up a little bit because now you're supporting another human being inside of your body. So you do need a slightly higher blood pressure for that. Mine never went up, which come to find out is because my body doesn't process sodium as it should. So I need like a hell of a lot of sodium in my life compared to other people. Now that I'm, you know, when you look in your chart and you see this, just like, oh, my Aquarius is, you know, afflicted and it needs lots of salt. So that was part of it. So I was eating like hell of a lot of salt during pregnancy. Also, a lot of it was hypoglycemia. I needed to eat like constantly, and I was like constantly nauseated from all these weird, any smell, especially meat, like cooking. Oh my God, like kill me now. I was about to die all the time. So I couldn't cook at home at all, hardly. So I needed to eat out a lot, but going to the restaurant also smelled bad and made me want to throw up because I could smell the meat cooking there. So I had to order out a lot of stuff, which was fine because I was mainly on bed rest and wasn't allowed to leave the house anyway. So, but still, that was like the only way I could get meat in my diet. And yeah, it was kind of miserable. I ate a hell of a lot of carbs when I was pregnant. Probably not the best thing to do to live only on carbs, right? It's not good to live on only one thing ever, but especially when you're pregnant. But hey, you got to do what you got to do to get through some of this stuff sometimes. So I'm not blaming myself, and I don't blame you if you've had to do the same thing. Moon and Saturn issues, that's also another heart aspect that can cause here are problems with the female reproductive system, like cramping and irritability before each period, mainly due to low calcium. Low bioflavonoids, which are ruled by Saturn, can also cause menstrual problems here. Possible deficiency of B12 can happen here as well, which is ruled by Mars. Skin issues such as flaking and scaling can occur, and eczema. These are secondary to lack of riboflavin, this flaking and scaling and eczema due to the lack of potassium due to this placement. In Scorpio here, colon stasis can occur, which is where your colon doesn't move as it should and things just kind of sit there. The peristalsis is either non-existent or very, very slow. And that can also be secondary to low potassium as well as hemorrhoids occurring. So possibility of those. Mercury and Saturn are also, in hard aspect that can be a potential for intestinal disorders, such as low bacterial flora and fauna and all that stuff that you should have in your gut microbiome, which can then lead to low or poor synthesis of the Saturn-ruled vitamins, which are PABA, vitamin C, vitamin K, sulfur, calcium, fluorine. So diarrhea and colitis can be common there then. Low thiamine can also lead to, again, all the issues that we've already mentioned, as well as inhibiting the uptake of sulfur when it's too low. It doesn't have enough to uptake the sulfur, which is Saturn ruled, which can then lead to insulin function starting to malfunction, meaning you can be either tending toward hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia, which we usually hear referred to as diabetes. Venus and Mars are directly next to each other. So again, that can lead to a potential lack of vitamin E, which is Venus ruled, and it can cause low secretion of hormones, which can tank your sex drive if you don't have enough vitamin E. So if you're having a low sex drive, increasing vitamin E in your diet is good. You want about 500 milligrams daily, for at least the first like 6-ish weeks. And then you can kind of go down to like 100 to 200, 300 after that. It can also lead to low folic acid and selenium, both which are needed for producing happy, healthy hormones and maintaining pregnancies and having peaceful pregnancies and good outcomes in your pregnancies. So those are things that you need to increase extra in your life probably as well. It can also lead to too little of niacin, which is ruled by Venus. Selenium and folic acid are ruled by Mars. These can happen from too little phosphorus, ruled by Venus, which can lead to canker sores, sore tongues, and or migraines. So, if you're having headaches, niacin and phosphorus are good ways to go by adding that. An acid alkaline imbalance can happen here, which is already common with you because of your sun and moon placements in Scorpio. So, again, really making sure you're eating lots of high fiber, roughage, and making sure you're getting fermented foods and drinks are going to be super, super imperative for you here. Your Jupiter and Uranus are in hard aspect to each other. So tics, twitches, tremors may happen when the body's under stress. Increasing your vitamin B6 and B5 and pangamic acid can help here. There can be an increased sporadic need for zinc, especially when sick. So increasing zinc when ill can help here as well. Jupiter and Neptune together can lead to like weird drug reactions and having like pharmaceutical drugs that don't work as they should. And you being the one that has like the super weird side effects that they swear shouldn't happen, but you're experiencing. So if you've had that, that can be, an issue here as well. As far as astro nutrition goes and how your body's cosmically designed for that, with your sixth house being Capricorn, you're really careful around like what you eat. You like certain things, and you're kind of, I wouldn't say picky, but you're definitely like, these are things I like, these are things I don't like, and this is what I'm going to eat more so than others, right? So you're very careful about that. You tend to your diet very well, typically tend to stick to what you've decided is good for your body, best for your body, and stick with those. With Virgo in your second house, though, this can make your taste a little fussy. So you can be very sensitive to taste. And if it doesn't taste good, you're just probably not going to eat it. So things that taste good but are nutrient dense are really good here for you. things that you can think about to add in would be honey, poultry, and grains are really good here. Grains, especially because they're ruled by Virgo. But grains are going to be good. With your tendency toward the dry bowel and other issues that could potentially happen in your colon, thanks to all the Scorpio placements, like sourdough bread, it's probably going to be better for you because it's like, it's have that like fermentation process in a way before you use it. Sprouted breads would be here. Ones that use like sprouted fermented sprouts would be even better. So sprouted grain bread would be good here too. So poultry, chicken, turkey, other fowl that people eat, duck, would be good here as well. Your Taurus is in your 10th house, which is a good indicator that your taste is the best way to indicate what is and is not best for you to eat. If it doesn't taste good to you, just avoid it. Eat things that your body likes the taste of. And nutrient-dense foods. Let's be clear on that, that I don't mean like just eat whatever tastes good, right? Because you do have that tendency with Mars in Virgo to not burn off as many calories as you would like. So you can't just be going eating whatever tastes good. It has to be nutrient-dense. So taste good, nutrient-dense food, which doesn't necessarily mean that you can't enjoy life, right? You just have to be a little more careful. That's all. Your taste buds and what you like will really help you nutritionally anyways. Your body knows what it needs and when it needs it, and it'll give you cravings for things. And so whatever is tasting good at that moment or your craving is probably something that your body is needing nutrition-wise. So go fill those cravings. Overall, you have an increased need for sure for Sun, Moon, Mercury, and Saturn ruled vitamins and minerals. So I'm going to attach those foods that would be best for your body in to the bottom of the reading here. So you'll be able to see which foods have the higher concentrations of those that are best to include in your diet. Alternative herbs are good, like we mentioned, Oregon grapefruit, dandelion root, burdock root. Mainly roots are alternatives in general. Very general. So anything like a root would be good herbs here to use. Cell salts are going to be really good for your body. You're going to need to take those. I would start with the combo pill and do 2 tabs under the tongue at least twice a day. And if you feel like you need more, let's discuss how that looks and what we can increase or not, right? When we do our meeting. Nutrient dense, high protein, higher fat diet is going to be really good for you. Plenty of movement, plenty of fluids, oils in your diet with electrolytes. I recommend Element. They're my favorite. So I highly recommend that you use them too. They work really well. They are science backed and they taste good. So it's like a win-win-win, right? I will include a link for you to purchase those as well in the reading. I have a referral link that you can use if you choose to. It just gets you some extra free Element, which is never a bad thing. Also, yeah, I think that's it. That's basically what I would say to a client and how I would end it. I would tell them to, you know, hey, now that you've got the reading, go ahead, listen to it because it comes in video format. Listen to it, take all the notes that you need, and then schedule your first appointment where we go over everything in the reading, answer any questions that they have, and then we set up a game plan for where we're going to start. What I see is like the most important place to start first. In this case, if this was a client's chart that I had been reading, we would want to start with gut health as well as uterine health. So we would start with making sure that they're getting plenty of fermented foods and drinks in their diet to help increase that flora in their gut, as well as doing castor oil packs to their lower abdomen to help bring warmth to the uterus section and pelvis, as well as helping increase that blood flow there. And it also helps bring moisture to the intestines, which their body really needs. We would also work on increasing water and adding electrolytes to that. And that would kind of be probably the first phase that we would start at. And this is all dependent on the client, right? If they feel like that's too many steps to start at once, then we're going to start on one, maybe two of those and focus on that. So in that case, then we would start with probably if they want just one thing, gut health. We're going to immediately start with gut health. And then we're going to add on like the next month, let's increase our fluids. And the next month, let's do the castor oil packs. And during this as well, I would more than likely make like a tea blend or a tincture blend that contain a lot of those herbs that I mentioned, if not all of them, depending on how many I mentioned. In this case, I didn't mention a ton because just not a ton were needed. But if some people have a list like a mile long of herbs that they could use, so I would narrow it down to the herbs that are best for that person and that I'm seeing are what we need to start with. And we would start with the tea and tincture blend as well as like improving gut health in this case, right? And slowly adding that in to support the body through all of the changes. We would work on nutrition in one of these phases. We would work on changing up any of the diet that needs to be changed, incorporating more nutrient dense foods over non-nutrient dense foods, right? Work on any thyroid issues that I saw might be an issue here, or if they are currently experiencing thyroid issues, then we would work with whatever supplement or medication they might be on for that already, and just help support the body also by increasing their calcium and iodine in their diet to make sure that their thyroid is getting all of the nutrients that it needs. So there's like a lot of different places that we could go and start. And again, how many steps we start at once is just really dependent on the client and where their nervous system is currently, how regulated that is, how easily overwhelmed it gets. With all that Sagittarius and this chart, if this was a client, we would probably not start with a lot of steps because Sagittarius rules the central nervous system with Gemini, and they can get easily, the nervous system gets easily overwhelmed, and you don't want to make too many changes at once because it can overwhelm the nervous system, which will then create more inflammation in the body and will lead to other issues that we're not looking to start, right? Like we're trying to help heal things, not create more problems. One of the other things that happens that's of note here when we do start making these changes, I do start slow because, again, don't want to overwhelm the nervous system, but we want them to stick as well. But also, we want to create habits, and we want to, if the nervous system is too overwhelmed, then you're not going to do it, right? Because you're going to get too overwhelmed, and it's just going to be like, I can't do this. The other thing, too, is that my mind just went blank on what I was saying. Oh goodness. What was I saying? I don't know. My mind just went completely blank. But we want to start slow. We want to give the nervous system time to regulate. We want to give time for things to take effect and see how they're working before we make changes, right? You don't want to move too fast. Oh, that's what I was going to say. And sometimes when we're doing these things and we start healing the body from the inside out with these changes that we're making, things get temporarily worse before they get better. So like you might start things to help with your period. In this case, if this was a client's chart, they're having horrible periods, very painful, heavy periods. Sometimes that first period after we start these changes is going to be miserable. It's going to be like worse than usual. It's going to be extra painful, extra heavy. And you're going to go, what in the world am I doing? Things are not changing. They're getting worse. This is a phenomenon that happens in the body all the time. As you're healing, it starts purging. And it'll purge through excess sweat, excess stools, diarrhea, excess urination, excess bleeding. As it's purging, it's going to excrete whatever doesn't need to be there in some way, shape, or form. And it typically tends toward the elimination pathways of the body, right? To get things out. It will also potentially lead to you getting very sick, like the sickest you've been in a while, like bedridden sick, as the immune system kicks in and things start getting pushed into the lymphatic system to get out of the bloodstream and out of the body, right? And your body starts dealing with those. And this is all normal and common in the way that it happens, but it can be discouraging, which is why I highly always recommend that you don't just get a reading, start making these changes that I've recommended, because you might start too many at once, you overwhelm yourself, and then you get sick like this, and the stuff gets worse where it gets better, and you quit. Because you're discouraged, you think you're doing it wrong, things aren't changing, they're getting worse, why am I doing this? And you stop. You don't have that support system there to tell you, hey, this is normal, let's walk through it, it's going to be okay. Let's add this into your tea blend or your tincture blend. So to support these extra symptoms that are now happening, right? And a lot of times I'll go ahead and formulate all that stuff that I know is more likely going to happen into the herbal formulation that I've created for you, because I know this is going to happen. And I talk about this and I tell you ahead of time that it's going to happen. But when you don't have that support and things get bad, and get worse before they get better, it can be so hard to continue on, which is why it's so important to work together for a longer period, which is why I work in 3 and 6 month containers with my clients to make sure you have that support and that coaching and that help to get through that initial terrible phase for sure. And then once we get beyond that, now we can start working on even more stuff together, right? And we can really help you set those goals that you want to reach and then get there and get to those goals. And we may not make it all the way to the goal in at the end of 3 or 6 months of working together, but you're going to be empowered enough to go, hey, I can do this on my own. I understand my body. I understand how, you know, the transits in the sky are affecting me. I understand how my body's going to react and what I need to give it when it starts doing X, Y, and Z, right? And you'll feel empowered to keep going on your own. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't continue working together. I do have a way to do that. If after the 3 or 6 months is up and you want to, hey, have me in your back pocket as that coach and that guide when you need me, I have a program for that. We have a concierge type program where you pay a set amount a month and then that gets you access to me in various forms and that kind of stuff. It's something I like to move my clients into who are like, hey, I feel fine to do this on my own, but I would like to be able to contact you whenever, right? And so it's just a little fee a month that you pay to be able to do that. So that is definitely like another way to continue to get that support, right? Come join the Astral Connection community. You can reach out to me in there, ask other people. Most of the people in there have been a client at one point or another. And so they know they've been there, they've done that. They want to help you too. So you can reach out in there. Join the Astral Align Kitchen because that'll give you some more tools as well, right? So there's all these ways to continue down the path to get that healing that you want and reach those goals if we don't make it there 100% at the end of 3 or 6 months. So I hope that gave you like a good overview of what to expect if you get, you know, a reading and showing, you know, what nutritional pieces we need to add in, what herbs we can add in. A lot of times too, like lifestyle changes, like I mentioned meditation, like, hey, that's going to be really good for you. So let's add that in, right? A meditation practice. A lot of times if you have a lot of Gemini in your chart, we'll start working on a breathwork practice because Gemini rules the lungs and they tend to have a lot of lung issues and breathing problems of some sort. And so we'll work on that, right? Movement, daily movement is huge for so many people. We don't get enough a lot of times in our lives. So, you know, hey, let's work on one of your goals being you're going to just get more steps in daily. And this could be outside on a treadmill. It doesn't matter. Whatever works for you and your body, right? But just working through a lot of that. And a lot of times there's mindset things too, things that have happened, or there's trauma trapped in the body. This is not my wheelhouse. Trauma trapped in the body, somatic practitioner, you know, practitioner stuff is not my wheelhouse. So I have people for that, that I can recommend you to go and see. I have people who are really good at moving trauma out in other ways. I have Reiki practitioners that I know and tapping and all kinds of things. So if there's a resource that you need, I probably have a person for it and we will refer out as needed. My focus is mainly on the nutrition piece, the coaching piece, the overall like health guidance piece, the being the person you can reach out to when you need extra help. Someone who can be like, hey, you reached out for this. Let me look at your chart real quick and can do a quick like look at the chart and the current transits and explain why it's happening. So now you have that information for the next time. So, you know, hey, when the moon enters Sagittarius, I'm going to have, you know, some fucking hip problems. That's me. And, you know, so you can plan ahead, right, for it. So that's my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is like the overall picture, the overall journey, getting you there. The parts and pieces of how we do that, I'm really good at the shadow work side. That's my thing. Again, all that Scorpio in my chart of diving deep and integrating that, right? Like it's okay to have this dark side. Let's push it out into the light more. It's okay to, you know, to have some of these issues that you're having. Let's talk through them. I'm really good at that side. That's my wheelhouse. That's the thing I like to do. I like to work with hormones. I like to work with, you know, people who want to get pregnant and have a baby, who've been struggling, or maybe who haven't been struggling, but don't want to struggle, right? People who are having horrible periods, who have gone into menopause and it's been terrible. That's my wheelhouse. So if that's you, let's work together. I've worked with other things too. Like I've worked with a client who was having just gallbladder issues. And, you know, we've worked on that. I had another person who'd had cancer and was having a difficult time gaining weight, and we worked on that. I've had other clients that were just having like really severe heartburn, you know, and they wanted to figure out what was going on. So I've worked with that. So I do work with other things, and I do work with male clients as well, or male identifying clients. I don't tend to attract as many as I do, you know, female and female presenting clients. So I tend to work with more women, but I work with men too. So, and I do a lot of those through referrals. So happy to help anybody that you might want to refer over. If after we talk, we're a good fit, right? I want it to be a good fit for me, but also a good fit for whoever I'm working with, so that they do get, you know, the goals that they're looking for, they reach them and they're able to feel better. So I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening and tuning in. I hope this kind of gave you some insight. If you are looking to have your own reading done, I would be happy to do that. Let's work together. Like, I am dead serious about this, y'all. Please come sign up. Let's work together. Let's get you feeling better. I have a few spaces open for the rest of April and into a little bit of May. On my roster, I only take 5 clients a month. So I have like 2 slots open for April, and I have 1 or 2 open for May currently. So if you'd like to work together, sign up now so you get in now and you don't get waitlisted. Okay, let's get started today on these problems. Let's not put them off. We put them off long enough and they're not getting better. They're probably getting worse, right? So let's go ahead and do it now, so that we can start the process and you can feel better by the time fall gets here. Have a great summer and a much better fall and winter, right? Okay. You can do all of that by going to atlaastrology.com/everything. And that lists literally everything that is currently available for you to purchase in working with me in some way, shape, or form. My Astral Line Kitchen is on there. The podcast subscription is on there. By the way, there's a lot of really good information, especially if you're struggling with infertility, in the podcast subscription side. So you should definitely sign up for that if you're wanting more information on that and how I work with pre-pregnant, right? Before you get pregnant, while you're pregnant, and after you're pregnant, after you've given birth, postpartum clients in there. So definitely go check that out. Sign up for the Astro Aligned Kitchen. Let's get that figured out. And that's just one more piece to the puzzle that we can start on, right? And so that's, again, atlaastrology.com/everything. And that is be in the show notes as well for you. And I will talk to you guys next time. Love and light.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Alchemy, Astrology, and Astro Health. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed making it. You can find all relevant links to today's show in the show notes below. If you loved the show today, please subscribe, follow, and leave me a review. I love to hear your thoughts, and it helps me know what is a hit and to make more of that content, especially for you. If you want to learn more about me and how I can help you, head over to atlaastrology.com. There you can sign up for a medical astrology package, download my free Sun Sign and Your Health ebook, read the blog, and so much more. If you want to connect more outside the podcast, follow my Instagram channel at atlaastrology or join my Astro Connection community, the link to which you can find in the show notes. Until next time, love and light.